Hey guys, thanks for tuning us in for this 13th episode of Season 2 of Good Questions with Cameron Dole. Special guests for this episode include Major League Baseball umpire Phil Cuzzi. We'll also talk with actor and screenwriter Eddie Steeples. And we'll also visit with our good friend, guitar picker and musician Brandon Allen. He'll be talking about guitar picking, his new album, and even some goals for 2021. If you would, please take the time to subscribe, drop a like, comment, leave some feedback, and of course share with your friends. Our first guest is Major League Baseball umpire Phil Cuzzi. You may ask yourself, why you got an umpire on the line? We're not going to bicker back and forth this morning, but got a great event I want to talk about. Got the 17th annual Robert Luongo ALS event coming up. And with that in mind, we've got Phil Cuzzi on the line. And first off, Phil, thank you so much for taking the time to be on this morning.
Well, thank you, Cameron. It's great to be here. Oklahoma City was part of my old stomping ground back in the minor leagues. I enjoyed it there. I enjoyed the people, and I'm glad that you had me on.
And Phil, talk about the Robert Luongo Fund, how this all got started, and now the 17th annual event coming up, obviously, with COVID and everything going on, having to do it a little bit different. But, man alive, you guys got quite the event set up, right?
Yeah, you know, every year, and again, as you said, this is our 17th year. So for the first 16 years, we've had great events in our small town of Belleville, New Jersey, and we've had the community has come together 600 strong. The first year we had 500 people, and people said, you know, people will come the first year, but then after that, you know, you have to really. And ours has only continued to grow. And that's a tribute to the community. Our event is all volunteer. We have no paid employees, so every dollar that comes in goes to ALS patients and or research. And the way it began, my buddy Robert Luongo, who I grew up with, we were like cousins because his mother's sister married my mother's brother. And so we grew up together, same family functions, picnics and barbecues and things like that. Fast forward, you know, we played ball together in high school. Robert was a strapping 250-pound linebacker, all-state linebacker from our town. And in 2000, he called me and said, something's going on with me. My hand is numb. It's moving up my arm. And as time went on, like all ALS patients, they lose all muscle movement, with the exception of the movement of their eyes. And so the first dollar that we spent was to purchase a computer that he was able to type with his eyes. And it really just grew from there. The last thing I said to Robert before he died was that he would never have to worry about the education of his then 9-year-old daughter, Dominique. And so, you know, we raised money to help her with her college, and she followed in her father's footsteps, graduated from Harvard, now attending Harvard Law, and it's just been unbelievable. It's grown beyond my expectation, and the live events. You know, we've had mystery guests like Joe Torre, Tommy Lasorda, Bucky Dent, Joe Girardi, Larry Holmes, Steve Sciarippa of The Sopranos and Blue Bloods fame. Bob Costas has been, and it's just been so great, and really disappointing that, you know, where we are today, that we have to have a virtual event. And you know, at first I said, I don't think I want to do that because everyone is sick of looking in front of a computer screen. But yeah, right. But we had such a, you know, that we started just having ideas, and Bob Costas has been involved in helping us, and so we have a discussion led by Bob Costas with Joe Torre, Bobby Valentine, Bucky Dent, and you know, they're three old school guys that talk about this modern game, and people may be surprised to hear, you know, what they have to say about you know, old school is old school, right? But you know, and then as I said, we have Steve Sciarippa, and then we're going to have the three sons of three of the greatest Yankees of all time. So we're going to have the son, Larry Berra, Randy Maris, and David Mantle. And they're going to take people's questions. So if you're a baseball fan, or if you're a Blue Bloods or a Sopranos fan, it's really worth you tuning in to the Zoom event. And as you mentioned, you can do that by going on to WeFightALS.org. Or Robert Luongo, L-U-O-N-G-O-A-L-S Fund.org. You can see our Twitter page, you know, our Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram page, and there's just great stuff there. We have memorabilia for a silent auction, great sports memorabilia. We have some Star Trek memorabilia for the Trekkies out there. I know that they're out there. And it's just going to be a great alternative with great entertainment for something that we wish that we didn't have to do, and we hope it's the last year we do have to do it virtually. But I think it's the best that we can do, and I think it'll be a lot of fun.
And Phil, for you to have the 17th annual event now, how much pride do you take in the work that you've done, and also keeping Robert's name and legacy alive each year that it moves forward?
Yeah, as I said, it has grown so far beyond my expectation. I get phone calls from people that, you know, that I know, you know, that we know, and it could be that someone says, hey, you know what, my wife's cousin was just diagnosed with ALS. What do we do? And, you know, the bad news is they're looking at me as an expert, which I'm not. But through my work with the ALS Association over, you know, 17 years, I have resources and contacts that I can direct them. And the first question I say to them is, you may not know today what their needs are, but if you can just let me know what their needs are, we are here to help. And, you know, it could be putting in a ramp so they can get the wheelchair out of the house, or it could be, you know, putting in a chairlift to get the patient from the second floor down, you know, down to the family room, or out the front door. And it's so gratifying when I get a call from, you know, ALS patient or their caretaker, and say, you know, we really appreciate it because you're really helping to change our lives. And you know, and you can't put a price tag on that. And it's just such a great feeling. You know, it could be that they're behind in their bills because of the expense, you know, covered that is not covered by insurance. And we step in and we help with that. So as I said, it's all volunteer. We have no paid employees. Every dollar that comes in goes back out either to research or to for patient care.
That's good stuff. And again, Phil, I want to make sure that we let folks know the websites to find out more information about the event.
Yeah, the website, we have two domains. The easiest one is wefightals.org, and the other is Robert Luongo, L-U-O-N-G-O, ALSfund.org.
All right. Well, again, Phil, it has been great to visit with you this morning. I appreciate the work that you're doing. Look forward to hearing some great reports on another successful event.
Thank you, Cameron.
Our next guest is actor and screenwriter Eddie Steeples. Hulu now streaming the series My Name is Earl, all four seasons, plus season 1 and 2 of Guestbook streaming soon. First off, Eddie, thank you so much for taking the time, brother.
Hey, thank you, Cameron. Glad to be here.
Now, Eddie, if folks have not seen the comedy series The Guestbook, which is now going to be available on Hulu, tell our listeners a little bit about the series and how cool it is to see it coming into Hulu tomorrow.
I'm very excited actually that it'll be on Hulu along with My Name is Earl. Basically, the Guestbook, it's like a tiny cottage in a little tiny town, and they each week you'll have guest stars that come on and they have an experience at this cottage, and they'll write it down in what we call the guest book. And so you follow these stories week by week, these different stories of what takes place in this town. Now the people in the town remain the same, but each time, every week, you'll have a new guest star to follow. And, you know, it's hilarious, written by, you know, the same creator. You know, my name is Earl, creator Greg Garcia. And it takes place, the first one takes place in like a mountain area. And then the, let's just stick with the first season. I don't want to get, you know. I don't want to spoil it for you. So yeah, but yeah, it's a great show to be a part of, man. And I had a chance to work with some fantastic actors and actresses, and and as well as see my kind of like reconnect with my old family again.
You talk about the old family, and My Name is Earl now streaming on Hulu as well, all four seasons. And, you know, even with what some would say, just four seasons, I mean, to have the fan following that it's got, Eddie, I mean, how blown away are you by the how loyal the fans still are, even 15 years anniversary now?
Yes, I know. It's been a remarkable support, I would say, you know, from the fans and everyone who's tuned in. Yeah, time flies, Cameron. It really goes by fast. They notified me on that, the 15-year mark, and I was kind of like, wow, that's, it feels like, honestly, it feels like it was a few years ago. It really does. But, you know, especially being that I still get called Crab Man for something that long ago. I'm like, oh my. So, but it's great. We have some, I mean, the fans there have really been great. So I enjoy it. And, you know, honored to be a part of something like that. You know, it really, the storyline itself is something that I think we implemented that into our world and our daily lives, I think the world would be a much better place. So real thrilled to be a part of it.
Now, Eddie, we talked about the guest book and My Name is Earl, both on Hulu now, and especially Eddie, in the times that we're living in. I mean, how appreciative are you for the opportunities to be on a streaming provider, especially with everybody kind of stuck in and binging nonstop, right?
Yes, exactly. It kind of, revitalizes things I've done in the past and being able to connect to a different audience as well. So it's beautiful. It's one thing that is kind of just a remarkable thing in what we do, you know. It's to be able to put something in a can and people can watch it for years to come and reconnect with it on different levels at different times even. So yeah, I'm very excited and happy to be a part of it, you know. Thank you, Hulu.
Yeah, I know, right? now, Eddie, this last year, I mean, everybody's been introspective, kind of working on themselves as well. What have you been working on over the last months, having time alone?
Aside from being a dad and with my daughter, which I will say that this time has given me more time with her, you know, and just being able to connect with her. And that's a special, thing for me and I'm sure for her as well. So I've been focusing on that, just trying to be, you know, a better dad, and as well as writing a few things. I have a few screenplays that I've written, and so that it's given me that time too to actually complete some screenplays, and so that's been great. And then also I've been downsizing. I feel like through what has happened, it's just made me kind of look at all of the stuff and the things I have, and so just been putting that in perspective as well, and trying to just get rid of things I don't use. So that's try to have a lot of vitamin C and zinc. Other than that, that's what I'm doing.
Now,
how about yourself? Are you good?
I'm better. I think we've all had our ups and downs this year. I lost a family member, so after that, took a little bit while to get over. But yeah, aside from that, I think we're all just learning new ways to do things, my friend.
Yeah, man. I'm sorry to hear about that. You know, it's definitely a new world, new time. Yes, But, you know, fortunately, humans learn to adapt, right?
That's right. Now, Eddie, if folks want to not only find the series on Hulu, where would folks keep up with the social media? Is Instagram the best place to keep up with you?
Actually, that's probably the one, the only social media outlets I use. So you can find me at Eddie Steeples on Instagram. And, you know, I have a Facebook account. I think I'm on Cameo. I am on Cameo. I have a Facebook account and that I can't recall the name of what it is. And I can't recall my Twitter account either right now. So, but you know, that's what I've been using, Instagram, when I do use it.
All right. Well, Eddie, it has been great to visit with you this morning. I wish you continued success. Excited about the series on Hulu, and hopefully we can catch up again real soon.
Yes, Cameron, thanks for having me, man. And yeah, stay safe out there, man. Thank you so much.
All right, guys, our final guest on the podcast today, and I've been thanking him for several months at the end of every podcast. He plays the intro, plays the outro, and all this stuff in between. Good friend of ours, singer, songwriter, and musician, Brandon Allen on the line. And Brandon, first off, thank you so much for taking the time, brother. Glad we could finally hook up.
Man, it's great talking to you again. I was really looking forward to this, so this will be fun catching up.
Now, Brandon, we've been friends, what, four or five years, I guess, since the first time you came in studio. And I remember the first time you came in studio and you got talking about finger picking, and I didn't really know what finger picking was all about. And then you proceeded to finger pick and impress me to no end. And where did the finger picking in your life, where did that instrumentation and love for the guitar come from for you?
Well, the finger picking specifically, it was two guys. It was Chet Atkins and it was Stephen Stills. And those were some of the first, you know, songs I ever listened to with my dad when I was playing guitar. And then you can kind of go into other guys, you know, Mark Knopfler of the Dire Straits, but then we're talking more flat picking, as they say, you know, where you're actually using the pick. So what I do nowadays is hybrid picking, where I basically I hide the pick under my middle finger and use it when I need it, and otherwise it's in there the whole night. You know, it just kind of, there's a little rolling motion where my thumb will roll it out and it's right in place. And when I need to do something really fast, I use it. When I need to do something more like a banjo roll, or like really cool finger picking stuff, then I'll just roll it back. So yeah, there's a little technique to it. I played only finger style for about, you know, 16 years before I started doing hybrid. And it's just, it's different, but it gives you a lot of versatility, you know?
And for you, how much time do you spend on your craft on a daily basis? I mean, how much time do you actually spend picking away, if you will?
Well, I'm very fortunate that I play so many shows down here in Texas in the Basic Region that as far as practice time, most of it's just done on a live stage, which is actually the best way you can do it anyway, because, you always joke around like with closet guitar players and musicians. It's like, well, they're really good in their parents' basement, but you put them on stage. You put them on stage and they look like a deer in headlights, and all of a sudden they're not sitting down anymore. They're standing up, and the instrument's not even in the same position because you're standing, and now all of a sudden they're hacking away. So, it's, you know, that's a roundabout way of answering your question, but I play about every day. I'm always trying to write new stuff. I love learning new tunes and just changing the keys and writing, you know, substitute chords for them and making them fun. I run music at a church down here too, so I've got that side of things where I'm always kind of trying to pick songs for other singers and help them figure out stuff. So I'm basically on the instrument almost every day, and I haven't had feeling in my fingers in many, many years.
Now, for you, I know that you're in the car heading over to work on the new studio project. And for you, how much of a release is the music, especially at the times we're living in right now?
It's amazing to be able to still create. You know, I was so scared last March that I wasn't even going to be playing live. And that turned out to not be the case at all, because I ended up playing live about four times a week, even during COVID. And we came up with a different format. That's a separate conversation. But what it allowed me to do was continue to write music and get ready to go into the studio and cut more music. And it's a huge release for me, because you know, you don't want to bottle it up, and recording costs money. Everybody knows that. And if you're not out playing shows, makes it a lot harder to spend money on recording. So, you know, you got to have that thing they call cash flow. And so being able to make a record is a great thing, but a lot of it's dependent on, you know, being able to go out and play live. So I'm just really grateful that I was in a position last year where I didn't get completely creamed by COVID.
Now, how was the songwriting process different this time around? Was it hard to stay brighter? Did you find yourself being darker in your writing styles? How has that been changed in the last year?
Actually, I'm writing positive to try to kind of go away from the negativity. So there's pretty happy flow with most of the new material to kind of get people out of the depressant state that a lot of people have been in 2020. And I think I told you this last time I was around you, but I always start writing songs with the guitar riff first, and then I try to create lyrics that match the vibe of the song. So I don't set out to write about anything. I kind of start playing and then humming and then, you know, coming up with a circle of chords where we have a little bit of a flow. And from there, I kind of get the idea what to write about. So what I did set out to do was write happy guitar riffs that would be catchy, you know, and, everybody listens to classic rock, but you know, so many of those songs, like Led Zeppelin, you can almost always associate the guitar riff with the chorus of the song too, because they were separate, you know, but equal in a way. And so I try to write songs in a similar way, happy riffs, and kind of stay away from the sad stuff, but maybe give a little more hope or humor. And look, there's a lot of country artists out there that are incredibly talented at writing sad songs, and I'm just going to hand those to them.
let them have that market.
Yeah, some of those writers in Nashville, I mean, you know, that's just, I get it. But
now, Brandon, what was the most 2020 purchase you made last year? Something that going into the year you would have never thought that it would have even been on your radar.
I got a Ford Expedition. I was not expecting to change over, but I was in a Tahoe, and I've always been a Tahoe guy for obvious reasons, where the space and loading gear and some guitars, you know, and this year I was playing on Lake LBJ quite a bit, doing live stream concerts. But we would get like a ton of boaters to do it. Well, long story short, one of the guys, I kept using his beautiful dock, you know, to his house that's literally right on the water. Well, he happened to own a Ford dealership. So he got me to switch teams. But, you know, that was the most unlikely purchase that I look back and I'm like, wow, I did that during COVID. I don't know if that was smart or not, but I did.
it affects everybody differently, Brandon.
Yeah, and then you know as well, without even asking, but you know, I probably bought a guitar last year too. And what I do with those is I usually I keep them in the case or I leave them out just to see if my wife will notice. And then I kind of wait to see how long it takes.
Now, Brandon, how big is your guitar collection now? Do you still keep the old ones? Do you get rid of one as you bring one in? How does that work for you?
Well, typically I just add to it, but I'm up to about 16 right now, which isn't, I mean, some people think that's crazy, and I think it's, I know people that have way more, so I don't know what the grading curve is. I can tell you that I use every guitar I own. I play them live. They don't sit in jewel cases on the wall like at the Hard Rock Cafe. You know, these are going out to get used and make some noise. And I try to buy really fun colors. Just, I think, you know, it looks cool on stage when you've got some different themes going on. But yeah, I did get one of those last year, and I do get rid of some. I sold one in San Antonio a few weeks ago, and it was weird because I felt it to the guy. I remember passing it off and never really thinking about it again. And I'm like, that's how I knew I was not in love with that one.
Yeah, when you can part so easily, that's a sign.
Yeah, so that, I was kind of chuckling about that one, but I was like, yeah, I really don't miss it. So I guess that was good I got rid of that.
Well, Brandon, in the last year, obviously we've all had time to sit alone and kind of rehash and kind of re-envision things a little bit. What's been the thing that maybe you have put an extra focus on in the last few months?
Well, I got to spend a lot of time with my son Preston, you know, my wife Amber, and she had to work through COVID because she was an executive director at a school, basically for fine arts and stuff. But my kid wasn't able to go to daycare because we weren't essential workers. So I ended up getting tons of time with him, and he's 5 years old. Of course, in 2020, he was 4 until November. So most of the year, I was getting to do a lot more with him. So I kind of refocused when I do have free time outside of music. I learned a lot more things I could be doing with them and making them a part of the shows that I do that they can go to, make weekend trips out of it. So that's been cool. I got to really hone in on that because so many other places were closed that we kind of had to figure out how to do things together in a different way.
And how has maybe goal setting changed for 2021 as opposed to the years you've had before, Brandon?
Well, I think, yeah, I mean, I always tell people that aren't in music at all, they're like, so what do you do from year to year? And I almost think of it like in like the way that you would train for the Olympics. There's like a 4-year period where I got to write songs, I got to play shows, I need to cut, and then I need to go release and promote the record, and then I need to tour support the record. So that takes about a 4-year period. So I'm in the phase right now where I'm cutting a new record. So I'm going to release everything, you know, over the next year. I'll probably trickle it out. So one of the goals was to release the record, but you know, being in radio and everything, that we live in the age of singles, so I'm not going to release the record all at the same time because I want to make sure that there's a focus on every song that we put out. So that was one goal that changed. Was it's not just about a record, it's about, you know, releasing that where everybody can understand what song you just put out and give it some attention, or at least the storyline of why and what. But I, this year for goals, you know, depending what regions of the country are open, I'm probably just going to stick to Oklahoma and Texas because this is the best area. You know, so that's why we came back from Nashville and lived here again, and we wanted to be back. And it's just fun playing this entire region. Really, the I-35 corridor is a pretty special thing. You can really build a wonderful fan base on it, and the people are so incredibly nice. you know, you can go to other regions of the United States, and I don't think there's really anything like that. The big I-35 Minnesota to Texas line, and, you know, you probably add 5-6 hours to each side of that, and you just, the people are incredible, and they just like good music, but they like the personal connection with the artists, and they listen to the lyrics, but they also like to have a good time, and everybody works. They don't care about whether you have Lakers tickets, you know. And it's just, I'm really proud to be living back here, and so excited my kid gets to grow up here.
And I know that's something I know you've always loved, the Austin music scene, and for you, Brandon, it's so diverse. I mean, there's you've got all genres now in the Austin music scene, and how much does that scene impact the music and also your growth artistically as well?
Well, you're correct that Austin has a lot of different genres going on. I think Texas as a whole leans toward country blues. I think so does Oklahoma, you know, probably. And Austin, you're going to see more of the rock, and you're going to see some of those jazz clubs and stuff. So when you're younger, especially, you soak up the Austin music scene, for instance. You can really be a sponge. When I was 19, 18, starting to play at bars on 6th Street, in the general downtown Austin area, I mean, I was listening to everything I could possibly get my ears and eyes on, because you're green, you know, you're just learning from everybody, and you've got world-class caliber musicians playing for free at a bar that's got, you know, dollar you call it, and you're just like, wow, you know, this guy's way too good to be playing here. But it's not even about that. You figure out at an early age, these players are just obsessed with their craft, which I am too. I'm cutting guitars in the studio right now, and they're going to be right. They're going to be correct. And I don't care how long it takes, but that's like my stamp of who I am, you know, more than a vocalist. No different than, you know, you listen to Brad Paisley and Keith Urban, you associate the guitar with them. So I think there's that. But yeah, it is cool having that. You know, Fort Worth's got pretty good scene going on nowadays too. And I would actually tell people, whether this is totally unsolicited advice, but I would seriously consider, if I was 19 or something and in college or just coming out of college, and I wanted to be in the country genre, I think that Metroplex north of us, that Dallas-Fort Worth area, is a pretty good spot, because you've got access to Oklahoma easier than I do where I'm at, because I'm another 3.5 hours south of Fort Worth. There's a cool scene going there, but it's not as diverse as Austin's, right? But they're popping out plenty of good stuff there, and you know that. And being able to get up to your neck of the woods, and there's, you should not ignore that. So, you know, if I was that age again, you know, Austin's changed a lot. It's become a very different city than when I was, you know, going, you know, I, you know, without getting too far into it, a lot of the venues aren't there anymore, and you can't go see those bands that I was going to see when I was in my late teens and early 20s, because the venues aren't there. So that is a little trickier. You kind of have to find them now. But you know, you should just listen to everything you can get your ears on, because it's going to bleed onto you one way or the other, and you won't remember where you heard it, but that's just the passing of information, you know?
Now, Brandon, for you, what is it that is the inspiration or your driving force behind you and the music that you're doing right now?
I am so anxious to get more music out, because I hadn't cut a record in like 5 years. And a lot of these songs that are coming out on this record, I don't know, 30-40% of them were written in 2015, 2016, 2017. So I just, I'm chomping at the bit to get them out because, you know, these songs have been finished and ready to go for a while. I've been playing them on live shows, but it'd be nice to get a recording of it.
Now, Brandon, as I want to make sure and let our listeners know where to find out more information, the music you've already got out, also upcoming tour dates, activities, and the upcoming music, social media, all that. Where's the best place?
Yeah, I think if you can just make it to the website or Facebook, it's BrandonAllenMusic.net, and Allen is spelled like a first name, so A-L-A-N, and Brandon's pretty easy one. So BrandonAllenMusic.net. If you go there, it'll take you to all the social sites, but I'm booking out into, you know, March and April already right now, which is really fun, and I'm going to try to get on some shows, and I really want to get up to Oklahoma and get some stuff going there again. Last year, I was so focused down here. And you know how it is down here, man. The state just never ends. That's the problem, you know. Like, you have to focus on a region of Texas. You can't just focus on the state. It's so dang big.
Again, the website, BrandonAllenMusic.net. Go check him out, and hopefully we can get him up here in Southwest Oklahoma in the coming year. And well, Brandon, I'm gonna let you finish up the road trip. I know you're getting close to getting into the studio. I again appreciate you taking some time to be on. Appreciate the strumming you do on the show as well, and hopefully we'll catch up again real soon, my friend.
I'm glad you're getting used out of it.
Thanks again for joining me for this 13th episode of Good Questions with Cameron Dole, Season 2. If you ever have a comment, question, or anything else you'd like to know, you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, all at GQ with Cam. If you'd like to help out in the funding for this podcast, feel free to click the support tab and follow the instructions. If you have a special guest idea, email me, gqwithcam@gmail.com. Again, thanks not only for coming up with the music for us, but being a guest on the show today. We're going to let Brandon play us out. I hope you guys have a great rest of your Tuesday. Join me back here tomorrow for episode 14.